to me shall not hunger, and who believe in me shall not thirst. No one can come to me unless the Father beckons, and I will raise you up, and I will raise you up, and I will raise you up on the last day.
Welcome to Devotions, brought to you by the Anglican Diocese of the Bahamas and Turks and Caicos Islands. My name is Father Colin Humes, Rector of St. Mary the Virgin Anglican Church, located Virginia Street, Nassau, Bahamas. Let us pray. O God, whose blessed Son made himself known to his disciples in the breaking of bread, open the eyes of our faith, that we may behold him in all his redeeming work, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reading today comes from the Gospel according to John, chapter 6, verses 30 through 35. So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing?" "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The word of the Lord. I want to reflect today on words from the Gospel according to John, chapter 20 and verse 19. Jesus stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Today we continue in the Easter season. But I ask, what difference has the empty tomb made in your life? Are we living the resurrection? I'm sure we would all agree this is not always easy. There are days when we prefer to just stay in bed, pull the covers over our head, and close out the rest of the world. Sometimes we just want to run away and hide and not deal with the reality of our lives. Maybe that's what the disciples were doing when Jesus suddenly appears among them and says to them, "Peace be with you." But I ask, if the resurrection is such a big deal, it should make a difference in our lives. But the disciples are stuck in the same place. Often that is us in our spiritual journey, stuck in the same place. Those disciples were locked behind closed doors. And yes, it's easy to be critical of the disciples, for after all, sin and death had been conquered. I often say that miracles are not about magic, but more about transformation. I believe we sometimes come to Easter expecting the whole world to be changed. We want to wake up on Easter Monday with a whole new life and a whole new world. But when we wake on Easter Monday, it's often to the same life and to the same world we had on Good Friday. Mind you, it's not because the resurrection failed or because Jesus did not do the Jesus thing. It's just that the Jesus thing takes time. What am I saying? The resurrection takes time. Resurrection is not a one-time event. It's something that we grow into. In other words, I believe the resurrection is a process. It's a way of being and a life to be lived. By the grace of God, we all evolve into resurrected people through our relationships and the experiences and circumstances of our lives. Every day, we are stepping into the resurrected life. And it's not always easy, and some days, I'm sure, we would admit it's just plain difficult. I remember learning from a friend in the legal field that there's a difference between facts and story. Facts are one-dimensional, but stories are multidimensional. Facts inform the mind, but stories touch the heart. Facts transmit information. Stories transform lives. Think about it like this. A fact is static. It's like a snapshot of a particular moment in time. But a story is dynamic. A story is like a movie that takes us across time. So the empty tomb is a fact. But the resurrection is a story. So maybe we need to let go of the fact of the empty tomb and start claiming the story of the resurrection. Maybe we need to begin to understand resurrection as a movie of our life instead of a snapshot of Jesus' life. The fact of the empty tomb is not the story of the resurrection. The facts of Jesus' life are not the story of Jesus. The facts of your life and my life are not the story of our life. The facts are just the starting point for the story. Too often, I believe, we take the facts as the entire story. And that is not necessarily the case. Isn't that what we have done with Doubting Thomas? When we hear his name, we think, yes, doubter. He said, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hands in his side, I will not believe. But what if that fact, however, is just the starting point for Thomas's resurrection? What if it is not the whole story? For after all, eventually he did confess and profess, my Lord and my God. What if where we start is less important than where we go or we end up? Because somewhere between Doubting Thomas and Confessing Thomas is the story of the resurrection of Thomas's life. All that stuff about doubting and his disbelief is just Thomas's starting point. It's neither good nor bad. It's just a starting place. So, brothers and sisters, what is your starting place? Is it loneliness or sorrow and loss? That's just one of the rooms in which Christ enters and declares, peace be with you. Is your starting place or are you locked behind a house of fear and confusion or darkness? That's just your starting point, a place where Jesus can enter and say, peace be with you. Is it illness, old age, disability, or uncertainty? That's just a starting point and the place in which Jesus shows up. Is it that you may be lost, betrayed, disappointed, overwhelmed? Again, just a starting point and the place where Jesus can enter and say, peace be with you. All these things I just described, and I'm sure many others, are just the many ways or the doors of our house to be locked. The great tragedy will be if the disciples and we ourselves refuse to unlock those doors, refuse to open those doors, refuse to get out of the house and start living the resurrection. So my prayer is that we open the doors to the story of our resurrection and get out of the house. Peace be with you. We do hope these devotions have been a source of inspiration for you. I encourage you to share them with others. May God bless you. Have a wonderful day.